From Black Sheep in Five Points, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
A look inside Black Sheep Restaurant in Five Points in Riverside here in Jacksonville. The lunch crowd about to get to bed, and so are we on Jaguars.com Live. Welcome in, J.P. Shadrick with you on a gorgeous afternoon on the patio here at Black Sheep. Glad you're with us. A lot to get to today. We're live at Black Sheep. Kelvin Beachum hosting a meetup of Jaguars fans today, and the rumor is he's going to buy some lunch. That's good news. And we'll talk a little offensive line with Brian Sexton as well. We welcome in Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier and Kelvin Beachum, the man of the hour. What's up, Kelvin? What's going on?
I'm happy to be here, man. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Your first time at Black Sheep, I guess, right?
First time.
So what do you think so far? You're out here, nice patio, nice day. A little different weather than Pittsburgh, right?
It's a lot different than Pittsburgh at this point. My wife was telling me it was snowing the other day. So, it's a lot different here than it is in Pittsburgh. And happy to be here. And this is a great spot. Nice spot to just come and mingle. So excited about meeting a couple fans today and having a good time.
Yeah, why the idea of lunch with the fans, and why do you want to make that connection now?
Well, this is our supposed off day, so I had a little extra time to myself and just wanted to, you know, for one, explore the town, but also get to meet the fans. So kind of, killing two birds with one stone, to be honest with you.
Sure.
Now, I'm probably stealing JP's thunder here, but how's the knee? That's what everyone wants to know. We talked a couple weeks ago, but let's lead off with that.
It's getting a lot better. Continuing to progress. Robbie and Scott and Milo and Sid, they're all doing a great job putting me in challenging positions, challenging exercises, just to get the knee and the body, not only the knee, but the body ready to compete and do the things that I need to do when training camp opens up.
And to put you on the spot, I know you don't have an exact time frame, but you told me a couple weeks ago, you believe that you'll be there for training camp.
Well, I want to be getting reps in training camp. You know, the goal is to be ready to start week one. And the only way to do that is you got to get reps. You can't just show up in this league and just show up and be like, well, I'm a starter. No, you got to put reps in. You got to put time in. A lot of hard work and a lot of dedication that still needs to take place before those goals of mine are met. So right now, just putting, you know, days on top of days, stacking days on top of days to get to where I need to get to.
We'll put you to the test in a little bit and have you block JP trying to rush the passer.
So. See what we can do, huh?
It won't be too difficult of a test for you. Kelvin Beachum with us. We were talking before the show a little bit that the O-line gets together a good bit. How close are you to the room now? You're one of the new guys. So tell us about the O-line room right now.
The O-line room is different, you know, than it was in here in Pittsburgh. But every O-line has its own culture. Me and JP have kind of hit it off. Jeremy Parnell is actually coming to my camp this coming up weekend. But two Dallas guys. Well, he's Arkansas. I'm Texas. So we kind of got that connection and just kind of hit it off real easy. Bo, I call him Bo.
That's fine.
That's close enough.
Man, Bo is a hoot, man. So it's me and AJ, just a number of guys hitting it off. You know, Chat is right next to me. So it's a great group of guys. Looking forward to working with them, competing with them, and growing with them, maturing with them. So I'm looking forward to the opportunities that these guys, bring to the table.
You hear that word you just used, compete, right?
Yeah.
That leads us in. Competition, left tackle, that's always the storyline around you. Tell me about your approach to that and your mindset going after that left tackle position.
Well, just from a mindset standpoint, I can worry about what I can control. I can control only what I can control. There are external factors and things that I can't control that I'm not worried about. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about my knee, worried about my body being ready, worried about, you know, whoever I got to play or line up against, and against Green Bay, how am I going to defeat them? And my big thing is keeping, Blake clean. You know, that's all I care about. I've said that a number of times as interviews and things that have come out about, you know, how I feel about the situation that I'm in. And then also be a good teammate. You know, the team comes first. You know, when you play a team game, the team comes first. So whatever I have to do to be the best contributor to the Jacksonville Jaguars, that's what I'm here to do.
But you expect to be the left tackle. In your mind, you'll be lining up there.
Green Bay, that's the goal. That's the objective. That's what's up under my bed. That's what's over my bed. That's what's in my locker. That's what's on my phone. It's a message that I'm sending to myself continuously that's the goal. That's the marker. That's where I need to be. And that's how everything that I'm doing is lining up to go there.
Kelvin Beecham with us on Jaguars.com live from Black Sheep in Riverside. He's going to buy some lunch for some fans coming up. Here at Black Sheep should be good. What are you going to have? You looked at the menu yet?
You know, you got to start off with a nice salad. I'm going to get the Caesar salad. And then, you know, to be honest with you, I actually want to try three things that are on the menu. The Black Hog farm chicken. I love hogs. I shoot hogs when I go back home. Okay. So just to see what that's all about.
There you go.
Love short ribs. So I'm going to try the short ribs. And also try the grass-fed burger. So I'm going to get three meals while I'm here and see what they have to offer.
You guys should hang out.
I know. I got three meals, too. It's funny how that works. You know? Hey, let's go to social media. You're on Twitter.
Yes, sir.
At Kelvin Beecham Jr.
Kelvin Beecham Jr. Yep.
Correct. Okay. Let's get some questions from some Jags fans today. We start with Instagram, CT Jags fan asking you, which Jags offensive lineman do you find yourself hanging with the most? You might have just answered that.
Jeremy Parnell. Yeah, Jeremy Parnell was over at the house yesterday hanging out. He'll be over today for a little bit. Just a natural connection, man. Just, you know, we know we got a lot of mutual friends. Same with Devon House. Got a lot of mutual friends that just we know and just have just mutual connections. And when you have those type of connections, you start asking questions about them. They start asking questions about you. And then it's this whole triangle of conversations that begin to start. So me and JP are pretty close.
It's a small business, right?
Yes, it is.
Everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
No matter where you go, yeah. You have some connections.
Yes, yeah. Everybody. Cyper, you know, him and a couple of my other guys that I played with in Pittsburgh, he knows him because he trains with him every offseason. So it's those type of connections. I mean, it's all over the locker room guys that I know. Roy is from Central Texas, you know, so, you know, I'm thinking about trying to get down to his camp this year, you know, because, I mean, we know a lot of the same people. And so it's just some natural connections that happen. And like I said, it's a great place to be, especially right now.
Yeah.
It's a great place to start and make history. You know, history has been made here in the past with Jacksonville, but I think it's a lot more history to be made, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Let's go to Twitter now. You might recognize this handle.
Yeah, do we have to do this?
At Elbow70. Hey, KB, it's me, Luke. What's for dinner?
I don't know. Well, I take that back. You know, I've been on a meal plan since I've gotten here, so I'm having a Mexican meatloaf and broccoli tonight. That's what's for dinner.
You haven't even had lunch yet, and you're already planning dinner. Is that how it works?
I mean, hey, I'm very structured. I got meals planned for, you know, at least throughout the weekend.
Is Buenco typically showing up, like, uninvited, like, knocking on the door, seeing what's for, I mean...
I can see him doing that. It hasn't been done yet, but I can see him doing that.
We all can.
Yeah, I think that's about par for the course for him. Finish with this one. Hodari 11, what things stand out so far about the coaches, players, organization, et cetera? What do you like about Gus so far and in the offensive line room? What do you think of the coaching staff?
You know, Gus is one of a kind. He really is. Never been around a coach that has so much energy. You know, it's the same way if you see him at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's the same way if you see him at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. On the weekends, in the building, out of the building, he's phenomenal. And then Coach Marone, he's starting to open up, man. He's like an onion. He has layers to him. And as you get to know him more and more, I can just tell that he has a lot more to offer. So really enjoying getting to know him as well.
What's the confidence level of that O-line group? It took some hits last year and the year before. It obviously, as a group, must improve. What's y'all's approach to that?
No longer the whipping boy. You know, the offensive line, you know, and I've heard this in multiple facets of my career so far, the offensive line is the heartbeat of the team. Mm-hmm. If the offensive line is rolling, being aggressive, getting downfield, getting blocks, protecting the quarterback, if the offensive line is doing that, running the ball well, everything else will fall in the line. You got the biggest guys and the most guys in a particular room. We got to be able to run the team. You know, if we can run the team and we're the heartbeat of the team, we're pushing the team, you know, practice is going at our pace, and then we go out and perform on Sundays, then we're doing the things that we need to do, and it takes time to get there.
You know, I heard the defensive line guys say the same exact thing like 2 years ago. They want to control the room and run there's going to be a battle coming up in Kansas.
Well, that's what training camp is for. You know, sometimes it causes some altercations to occur. It causes some some you know, competition, to some heated competition to occur. But that's football, man. You know, all it is going to make us a better family, a better football team. And the closer we are as a football team, sometimes, you know, if you got a brother, you got brothers?
Nope.
You don't have brothers?
Nope.
Sisters?
No.
Only child?
Yeah.
Only my Lord.
That explains a lot.
Hey, I got brothers and I got siblings. We fought every day.
Yeah.
And we're stronger. You know, we were strong then and we're stronger now. But it's times that altercations, you know, little tussling bustle has to take place to grow as a team.
I'll break off the questions here real quick before I let you go. We had talked before the show. You developed a friendship or have had a friendship with Tony Brackens, ex-Jaguar. I think our fans would like to hear about that.
Tony Brackens is from Fairfield, Texas. Mm-hmm. Fairfield is about 20 miles from Mahia. Fairfield was our arch rival, one of our arch rivals, so knew about Tony growing up. Tony actually put quite a bit of money into the Fairfield Independent School District and helped build one of the schools there. So I actually played in the arena that Tony Brackens, his jersey and his helmet sit in that building. So it's great to know him as a person. But it's even greater to know him as a football player and what he's done for this community. So, you know, I have somebody to look up to. I have a model and a marker that I need to go hit. So I have a lot. Like I said, I got a lot of work to do.
Cool.
The first step to getting better is going to eat lunch at Black Sheep. So we'll let you do that. And I know you're excited to meet some fans inside, but we appreciate your time today, Kelvin.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
Great stuff, buddy.
Kelvin Beecham joining us on Jaguars.com live at Black Sheep. Registration is open now for the Small Business Breakthrough, powered by Web.com. Businesses from South Georgia, North Florida, with a chance to step into the cage and come away with a comprehensive NFL sponsorship and digital makeover. It's valued at over $250,000. Entries open until the end of May. May 31st is the deadline. You can enter at BigStageBigResults.com. Over 350 entries last year. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, Brian Sexton.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, Brian.
That's your first time here, right?
I've never been here. I don't get. I live at the beach, so I don't get to Riverside very much. I know they did the Monday Night Show here, and all I've heard is great things, so I'm looking forward to trying it.
Well, I have been here, JP, and it's great.
Yeah, so, and I've been here a few times, that's for sure. Kelvin Beecham, you got to love the guy's attitude. The guy's been a starter in the league from the start. Had a knee injury last year. His attitude coming off the knee injury is fantastic. His attitude about the competition to left tackle, I think, is even better. What do you think?
He's an impressive kid, isn't he? Mm-hmm. I mean, impressive. The first thing that you notice is that this is not your prototypical left tackle, and yet he's a guy who started 39 games for Pittsburgh and beat Mike Adams, a big kid, 6'7 kid from Ohio State. So I can't wait to see him play and to see him work, because clearly his work ethic, and being from Central Texas and growing up in a ranch out in the country, he knows something about work. He does have long arms and really big hands, and you know those are two features that you need on a left tackle.
Well, and I think his approach is exactly right. There was a lot of talk in January. He made a comment about left tackle that he believes was sort of misinterpreted, that he wouldn't play anywhere. But his goal is to be the left tackle for this team. As he said, he's not thinking about anything else other than that. Will he win that? We'll see. I don't think Luke Jokel is out of the competition by any means.
Oh, no.
I don't think there's any way in the world that Kelvin Beecham won't do what he's asked to do. And no matter what, there's no question that having him on this team makes you a better offensive line, no matter where he plays, left tackle, wherever.
Without a doubt. Look, if Luke Jokel wins the starting left tackle job this year over a guy who they brought in to compete with him, then he's worth every penny they paid him. I mean, to have the number 2 overall pick and then to have this gentleman come in as a seventh-round pick, but to come in and to make him play at his highest level yet, oh, yeah, whether it's guard or whether it's tackle, he's worth whatever you pay him this year and next.
Take a look at some of the left tackles in Jaguars history. We start with Bocelli, of course.
That's not even fair, by the way. It's just not fair.
Wait, do we have to talk about Bocelli?
No. But, you know, as you think about it, he was such a freak of nature to be so big and to have such long arms and to have such light feet and to be so nasty on the field. We'll never see another Tony Bocelli.
Thank goodness, by the way, on that. I mean,
He didn't pay me to say that.
But there's been quite a few left tackles, of course, in Jaguars history. But on the screen, some of the guys who led each season in starts at that position, 8 different guys, have led the way throughout the year. So we move to the interior of the offensive line. Now, that's the other part of this offensive line equation that a lot of people are looking at. And it starts at center. Brandon Linder, you had a feature about Brandon today on Jaguars.com, speaking with him about moving over to center. And he was a little guarded with it, too. He said, hey, I'm not ready to roll yet. There's a lot to learn still.
Well, he was guarded, and at the same time, there is definitely a confidence on his part, on the team's part. This move has been, I think, questioned by some fans. Why would you move Linder off of guard, put him in center where he's never played before? In talking to people around the team and talking to Brandon, there's no question they think he can be very good at this. And he's a humble guy, so he's not going to come out and say, yeah, I'm ready to go. He knows there's work to do. But I don't think there's any question on anybody's mind that he can move in there and be a very, very good center. The whole idea was, let's get your best interior lineman at the most important interior offensive line position, and they think he can be a mainstay there for 8, 9, 10 years.
Pound for pound, he is their best offensive lineman. And pound for pound, he may be one of their best two or three players on the team. He's that good. Is there an adjustment? Yeah, but remember now, he worked at center when he was at Miami.
Yep.
And they had worked him some 2 years ago as a rookie, talking about playing center when the position was up in the air. And so now to have him move over full-time, it does one thing. It puts your best offensive lineman with his hand on the ball. The center position, John, over the last couple of years has become a premium position. And it's not just because Alex Mack just got paid. To have the guy, the only other guy who has his hand on the football on every offensive play, you want the best guy you can get, and that's Linder. And I don't even think we're going to see a hiccup. I mean, that's probably overly confident, but having watched him, and you talk about him being humble. After the Dolphins game, which was his last game last year, I used some expletive to describe the way that he handled Ndamukong Suh, the highest paid defensive player in the game, and he just kind of gave me one of those smiles.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's any doubt when he puts the ball in his hand and takes over in front of your young quarterback, Blake Bortles, that he will be the best possible guy he can have. And by the way, Bortles has to love this.
Yeah. Well, and Brandon in the story I wrote for today said a lot of the adjustment is mental, obviously. He has to be on the same page. When he's looking out at the defense, he has to trust that he's seeing the same thing that Blake is seeing. I don't think that's going to be an issue for him. Again, as Brian said, he's exactly the kind of confident that you want. He is a confident player. He's not going to talk about it in the media. But this guy knows he can play.
Oh, yeah.
He knows he can do this. And I think deep down, he knows he's the best person for this job. And that's why he's warm to the move.
Jaguars.com live from Black Sheep in the 5 points section of Riverside in Jacksonville. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, Brian Sexton. OTA's coming up, by the way. That starts Monday is OTA number one. Phase three begins just outside of Everbank Field. You know, it's going to be a lot of the same going on now, except there will be some 11-on-11 work.
Mm-hmm.
Still non-contact, but maybe a little peek into what's going on.
Well, for me, one of the top storylines is Brandon Linder, but you don't really get that much for the offensive line
there.
Right. Dante Fowler Jr., again, I don't know how much we see during OTAs of a guy versus the passer, but him being on the field next week, which I'm assuming he will be, is big. Overall, I want to see what they're going to be doing with Marquise Lee. And I
just
and
about
I
to go
see,
there.
Well, I went there first.
Yeah, I know.
Hold on, big guy.
I'm really impressed with you.
That's what they all say.
And
yeah, okay.
It's the receiver positions you can see. I think they're going to have some packages where Hearns is on the inside. But to me, Marquise Lee, if he can just approach his potential, again, I've been saying it for years, gives this offense something that it doesn't ordinarily have.
I'm excited to see Jalen Ramsey, to see out and for folks to see some video of him, because these aren't open to the public. I don't think minicamp maybe.
Right.
But
yes.
But for Jalen Ramsey and to see how they use him, right, the corner, and to see some of the fluidity and for the physical nature and just the athletic ability that this guy has. But then Lee is the story on the offense as far as I'm concerned, because if he is healthy and he makes the kind of jump from what have been, you know, tough beginnings here, first 2 years, that Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, or even a decent percentage of that, wow, this offense really has a chance to explode.
Well, and I've been saying all offseason too, Blake Bortles still a big story. I don't know that we'll see in OTAs from Blake what we're going to need to see him from the season. The improvement there that he has to make, I expect OTAs that we'll see a much more confident in control. Not that Blake's ever not confident, but there's no question that this is his team now. And year three of OTAs, I just think you're going to see a quarterback and by extension an offense, Hearns, Robinson, that really own this franchise. These guys know that they're the heartbeat going forward, and I expect to see maybe a little bit of that in Blake Bortles' walk. Not that he's ever not confident, but you know what I'm talking about. That quarterback thing where it's your team,
yeah.
That's what you're going to see from Blake during the offseason.
Yeah, he's had a chance to get into the playbook more and more and more this offseason and work with guys. That's the next step, right?
Right.
After doing an offseason of that.
Well, and Julius Thomas, too, I think is a big thing for this offseason.
Oh, yeah.
To get him a little bit more on the same page. They lost preseason last year, lost training camp. As we said with Marquise, if Julius Thomas becomes more of a factor, then all of a sudden, boy, doesn't that open up. And I was struck when Allen Hearns and Allen Robinson talked a few weeks ago to the media. Every one of them gushed about what Julius Thomas can bring to the offense. They know his ability, and they know that if he's a factor, boy, it makes things easier for the offense.
And what does it say, by the way, that we're not talking about the running back position? They sign a free agent, $6 million a year deal in Chris Ivory, and they have a second-round pick from last year, T.J. Yeldon.
Yeah, your lips are moving. I can't even hear you right now.
Black Sheep.
I didn't think that you probably could.
Lunch has arrived.
Holy
cow. What do we got? Hang on.
We've got some club sandwiches, a duck banh mi, potato salads, and some shoestring potatoes.
Oh, yeah. The duck banh mi is coming.
Where are your other entrees, right, JP?
We've got a few others.
Kelvin, wow, does that look amazing.
He did.
So it looks like we're about to eat some lunch here at Black.
Fantastic.
Sheep. Well done, guys. This is fun. We should do this more often.
What? What are you doing next Wednesday?
I'd be back right here. Who knows?
I got a Wendy's right by my house. I could hit.
You go ahead.
I'll be there.
See you over there, John. John Osier, Brian Sexton, our whole crew. Our thanks to the folks here at Black Sheep. Come out and see them for lunch or dinner on the roof, too. Fantastic place here in Riverside. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.